Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To grasp what Jesus teaches us in the gospel today of the Good Samaritan, it helps to know what happened right before that, at least as recorded in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus had sent out 72 hand-picked men to go two by two to the towns and villages of Israel, to go ahead of him before he arrived there with a very simple message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. How so? Because Jesus, the Savior, was coming near, had come near to earth, and was about to come to them, to their towns. Then they came back after their mission was completed and reported to Jesus. It was great. Even the demons submitted to us. And Jesus rejoiced. Not so much that the demons submitted. He knew that would happen. He told them to rejoice that their names were written in heaven. And then he rejoiced and prayed a prayer to his Father out loud so everybody could hear. Father, I praise you because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. That's the same time when he preached to the crowds who were there before him, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Things like that. That the kingdom of God has come near in the person of Jesus, the Savior, the Christ. Things like that, that those who are weary and burdened should come to Jesus for rest. Things like that, that God hides the gospel from the wise and learned, from the arrogant, from those who are not weary and burdened, that he hides the truth from those who look to their own smarts, their own wisdom, and reveals it to little children. That makes some of us very happy. It makes others very sad and very angry. That's what the gospel does. It's what the gospel always does. It hardens some, it comforts others. So you don't have to be wise and learned to know the gospel, to understand the message of Scripture, the message of Jesus. You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be a theologian. You do have to be a little child, at least in the way that you listen to the Scriptures. You do have to have the Holy Spirit reveal to you that it's not about you doing things to get to heaven. Because you don't do things to get an inheritance, to inherit eternal life, do you? An inheritance you don't get by doing things. An inheritance you get by being a child in the family. Which is what John said in his gospel too. You don't have to do a thing to inherit heaven. John said in his gospel, to those who received him, Jesus, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children receive an inheritance. Now this being hidden from the wise and learned, being revealed to little children, we see a perfect example in what follows in the gospel, this gospel of the Good Samaritan. As Jesus tells his own disciples who are there, who believe in him, how blessed they are to hear these things, to see these things that people in the Old Testament times would have loved to hear, would have loved to see. Jesus bringing the gospel, bringing forgiveness, bringing the sacrifice of atonement right to their midst. But then there's that lawyer who wasn't a little child, who didn't receive Jesus' forgiveness like a little child, who didn't trust in Jesus like a little child. Instead, he thought he was very smart, very wise. He was a lawyer, after all. And so he tested Jesus, tested him with that very dumb question coming from a smart person. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? We just said, you don't do things to inherit things. You inherit things as a child in the family. But Jesus played along with his testing for a while. What does your law say? Love the Lord your God, right? You know the summary of the commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, you're right. Now do this, and you will live. And the lawyer's conscience was pricked, because while he may have been a very good person and he was certainly a very smart person, that law touched his heart and made him realize, I don't know if I've done that. I don't know that I can say I've loved my neighbor as myself. So he tried to do the one thing that no sinner should ever do. He tried to justify himself. Who is my neighbor, Jesus? Jesus tells the parable to illustrate who his neighbor was, who his neighbor could be and should be. Tells that parable that you're familiar with, that poor Jewish man who left Jerusalem and was attacked on the road to Jericho. Attacked, beaten, stripped, robbed, left for dead. And you see the two smart men, the two religious and godly men, the two Jewish men coming from Jerusalem, the priest and the Levite, who see him there and walk right on by. And then the Samaritan, who sees him there and has compassion on him, who goes to him, stoops down, tends to his wounds, pours his wine into them to clean them and his oil into them to soothe them, binds them, puts him on his donkey, takes him to the inn, takes care of him all night, then leaves money and instructions with the innkeeper to keep caring for him and promises to return and take care of whatever costs are incurred. And you don't get the slightest impression from Jesus' description that this Samaritan did that because he felt he had to. He just did it out of mercy, out of compassion. That kind of mercy, that kind of compassion for your neighbor, for the one who needs your help and whom God places in your path, not your compassion for the person who dies of hunger in Africa. God hasn't put that person in your path. That's not your neighbor. Somebody's neighbor, but it's not yours, not in this room. God places other people in your path, your spouse, your parents, your children, the people sitting next to you here, your fellow members at church, the people you are next to every day who need your help. And what Jesus shows in this parable is that to keep God's law, to love your neighbor as yourself, the kind of mercy the Samaritan showed is the kind of mercy you must show. And you must show it all the time. And you must show it to the people you love and the people you hate, to strangers and to people who you're close to. You must do that, and you must have his attitude when you do it. That's what you must do if you would do something to inherit eternal life. That, and no less than that, is what God's law demands. And so at once, We're amazed and inspired at God's law, that it's a good thing, that these Ten Commandments are not these horrible things, but they're perfect. They're beautiful. they're righteous and just. This is what God would have man do, to love him and to love your neighbor as that Samaritan loved his neighbor. That's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. But if you believe that you must do something to inherit eternal life, and if you know that that's what you must do to inherit eternal life, then this parable damns you to hell. Because you haven't done that. I haven't done that. You won't be able to do that. That's where the world gets it wrong. That's where the world hears about this parable and says, oh, the point is, go be a good Samaritan and then you'll inherit eternal life. Totally wrong. To you who know the gospel, to you who have been baptized into Christ, as we sang in that first hymn, you know the other reason Jesus gives us this parable. Not just to make us afraid because we haven't kept that law that way, but even more, as Paul says, the whole point of the law, Galatians 3, you heard it again, the point of the law is because of transgressions. So that you look at the law and then look at yourself and see, I have transgressions. I have not that mercy that the Samaritan had. I have not shown it. I'm not even capable of it in myself. And so the parable of the Good Samaritan, this law that Jesus preaches to that lawyer, is to lead us to Christ, as Paul said in Galatians. The purpose of the law was to lead us to Christ, was to lead to the offspring, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. That's the gospel. The offspring has come. The offspring of the woman, Eve, the offspring of Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Mary. The offspring has come. The only man who has ever been that good Samaritan. Jesus is the good Samaritan who has shown that kind of mercy, that kind of love, that kind of devotion to people who couldn't do a thing, to people who were left for dead. Jesus has come and has offered himself as the sacrifice for our lack of mercy and all our sins. He shed his blood as the Good Samaritan for all people. And now he has also come to you and stooped down with his gospel and poured the wine of forgiveness into your wounds and has brought the oil of his soothing gospel to your ears. Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Your relationship with God is healed by me, by the Good Samaritan. And he doesn't stop there. He takes you to the inn and cares for you. That's here. That's his church. And he puts people in charge to take care of you while he goes away for a while. That's your pastor. To keep pouring on the wine and the oil, or the bread and the wine, the body and the blood, and the word of absolution. And that's why we sang that baptismal hymn today, to baptize you once, and then to remind you of your baptism often, because that's when you died with Christ. That's when you died to the law, because the law condemned you as unmerciful, but you died to that law. You had to. You had to die to the law in order to become a son. Ladies, that applies to you too. God calls you sons, even you ladies and little girls, because it's the sonship of Jesus that you now wear. That's your status before God because you are baptized into Christ. Paul says it right in the words after our epistle lesson today. All of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And so you've died to the law, and you aren't condemned by it through faith in Jesus, because now you're a child, you're an heir, you're part of the family, you've been raised to new life with him, and you get the inheritance of eternal life. Not by doing, but by believing in Christ, the Good Samaritan. Now that you've died to sin and been raised to life with Christ, the parable of the Good Samaritan has yet another meaning for you. Each day, through repentance, daily contrition and repentance, as our catechism says, you put to death the old Adam and you rise to new life, even as you have been baptized, and each day you live in that baptismal faith. You take off the costume of the old Adam and you put on the costume that you have been clothed with in baptism already, the costume, the clothing that is Christ. And now you walk around as someone else. You don't walk around as part of the unrighteous world. You walk around as sons of God. And Christ walks around in you. And Christ sees your neighbor next to you who is in need of whatever you can give. And now Christ bends down as the Good Samaritan and helps your neighbor through you as you wear him, as you bear him, as you walk around clothed with him. Christ, the Good Samaritan, still caring for people through you, still applying his gospel through you, bringing people to the inn through you. You don't get that if you're an unbeliever, if you're part of the world. This parable of the Good Samaritan will always and only mean you go and be a Good Samaritan so that you can inherit eternal life. But you, God's people, you know it so differently. As a picture of Jesus stooping down to help you and to save you, as he's done, as he does again today, you know it as the parable that shows you what you must do with your neighbor, but not what you must do to inherit eternal life. That's yours by faith in Jesus. It's the parable that shows you what Jesus has done for you, and now what you must do for your neighbor too. Not to inherit eternal life, but because you're a son or a daughter of your Father in heaven, clothed with Jesus, the Son of God, the Good Samaritan. You have to know mercy to show mercy. And now you know it in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.